We're really honored to be back again and be here with you this evening. I was expecting maybe less of you tonight, as some of them went to camp, but I'm really happy to see a really good crowd tonight, and we're really blessed. My wife and I were really blessed to be here and be able to get to know you little by little, because it's not one of our strength to remember all the names, but we're making progress. And we're doing what we can. So we're really happy to be here. We'll be leaving tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and we'll be on our way back to Monterey. And then from July the 7th to July the 10th, I will be joining a campaign in southern Mexico. It's in the state of Chiapas. The city is called Palenque. And that's a congregation there that has been established for about 2.5 years. And my family and I, we have been able to get involved in this work, and I'm looking forward to go and help them with whatever I can during that week. And then we'll be there for the rest of the time. We don't know when we're coming back. Maybe for late August, we should be coming back. I'm planning on joining the campaign for Michigan that Brother Rick is leading. So you might see us again later in August. You were thinking, we'll finally get rid of them? No, we'll be back. You're missing our little son crying sometimes? Well, he'll be back crying again some more. But we really enjoy the time we spend here with you and getting to know you. And one of the topics we will be speaking on during the campaign in southern Mexico is just related to several questions concerning salvation. One of the questions is, for example, will those who are religious be saved? So they want to know about this topic. And then another question is, will those who are good people be saved? And then another question is, will those who have never heard the gospel be saved? And this is what I want to speak to you tonight on these questions. Will those who have never heard the gospel be saved? If we can classify people, we can classify them in two types of people. For example, we can classify them in those who have heard and those who have not heard. Between those who have heard the gospel, there's some who have obeyed it. And between those who have heard the gospel, there are those who have decided not to obey the gospel. Now, in the other group, we have those who have never heard the gospel. But now we can split it in two groups again. Those who have never heard the gospel, but if they do hear it, they will obey it. And now, of course, we have the other classification of those who have not heard the gospel, and if they would hear it, they will not obey it. So the question still remains, what about those who have never heard the gospel and never get the opportunity to hear it in their lifetime? Will they be saved? And I want to tell you that this is a question that no one can answer for sure as far as human beings concerned. Only God knows the answer on the judgment day for that very question. But there are some guidelines, there are some principles in the Bible that can help us answer this question. Now, I want to, before we go to the book of the To answer this question, I want to answer real quickly, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel, of course, is the plan of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, we read that is the burial, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That is the gospel itself. For example, in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47, we have the words of the Master recorded that read, and that he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And actually the word gospel means that exactly. God's good news to man. And these are good news to us, knowing that Christ died, but not only that he died, but that he rose again He was buried, and then he rose again on the third day, and because of that, we have hope to be saved, and we have hope to be in heaven one day with the Lord. That is what the gospel is. Now, what does it mean to be saved? Well, to be saved, this word, to be saved, has two meanings in the Bible. One of them, of course, refers to mortal, to this life. For example, it means to be saved from mortal danger. For instance, when Peter was sinking on the sea, when he was walking on the lake, he cried, "Lord, save me." That's saving him from a physical danger. Also, for instance, when that lady that was sick for so many years and touched the garment of the master, the Bible reads that she was made whole, or she was saved. But she was saved from a mortal danger. That's one of the meanings of the word saved in the Bible. But the other meaning of the word saved is that of being saved from spiritual danger, from the everlasting danger, which is punishment for the soul. That is the meaning we're speaking of when we talk about being saved by hearing the gospel. That is the word saved. And we read about this on the Bible. For example, being saved means that your sins have been forgiven, according to what we read in Acts 2:48, for example. Also, being saved means that we have been added to the Lord's church, like those in Pentecost were added unto their number. And the Lord added them into the church. And now we read in Ephesians 5:23 that those who are added to the church, to the body, will be saved because Christ is the Savior of that body. So that's what it means to be saved by hearing the gospel. Now the question is that we're trying to answer, and I'm going to give you three reasons. But the question is, can someone be saved without hearing the gospel? This is what we can see clearly in the books of the Bible, in the Bible itself. We can answer this question for sure that no, no one can be saved without hearing the gospel. But the question is why? We're going to look at three reasons why a person cannot be saved without hearing the gospel. And here's reason number one. A person cannot be saved without hearing the gospel because, first of all, faith cometh by hearing. It is impossible for somebody to be saved or to obey something that he has not heard. And if you want to go with me to the book of Romans, we're going to read on this passage real quickly. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And now this verse sometimes might be misused by some people, but the context itself will tell us what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, let us keep on reading. Verse 14. "How they shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And notice verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Notice that obeying the gospel is being used parallel to calling upon the name of the Lord, but no one can obey the gospel or call upon the name of the Lord if there's not a preacher to be sent, and if this preacher does not preach the word in order for people to hear it and then they may believe it and obey the gospel, calling upon the name of the Lord. Therefore, can a person be saved without hearing the gospel? Hardly. It's impossible. If there's nobody that can preach the word and there's nobody that can hear that word being taught. Notice, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and there's a passage that is parallel to this one. How God chose a way to save people. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified." Notice what they did? They preach Christ. Same principle in Romans 10. How can they hear except there be a preacher? Now they were preaching Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now I skip on verse 21. Notice verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By preaching, God saves them that believe. Now notice again in verse 24. But unto them which are called. How are we called? And Josh mentioned this morning. We're called according to the gospel. And we'll read about this in 2 Thessalonians 2:14. This is the way we are called today, according to the gospel, by means of somebody preaching to us and by way of hearing and believing and obeying that gospel. So can somebody be saved without hearing the gospel? No. Now I want you to notice something very important on this section. One of the tasks of our Lord Jesus when he was on this earth during his ministry especially was exactly this, to preach the gospel. Because there was no other way that people could hear, could be saved. If you would like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, and I'll point you to some passages here as far as the ministry of our master. And let's notice Matthew chapter 4 and, for instance, verse 17. Notice what it reads. It says, from that time, this is after he was tempted by the devil. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He began and he continued during his ministry to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These were good news for them. And the fact that the kingdom of heaven was at hand were good news to them. And he began to preach. And he did not stop preaching. Notice verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease among the people. He went about all Galilee teaching and preaching. Why? Because this was the only way people could hear the good news and obey them. So this is what our Lord is doing in his ministry. Now notice, for instance, Mark, in the book of Mark, and go to chapter 1 and verse 35. Over here in Mark, we have the Lord waking up really early one morning to pray. I know everybody was looking for them. For him, I mean. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, nobody knew where he went. And verse 36. And Simon and they that were with him follow after him. Meaning, they were looking for him. Verse 37. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And our Lord is verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may what? Preach there also. For why? Why does he want to go preach there also? For therefore came I forth. This is one of the reasons that I have been sent by the Father, so that I may go out to all these cities, beginning in Galilee, so that I can preach there also. And not only in Galilee, but also in Judea. And in many regions was Jesus able to preach, because this was the only way people could hear the good news. Only they were taught by somebody if they would preach, and the Master himself took care of this important business himself. Because there's no other way we can be saved without, if we don't hear the word. So can a person be saved without hearing the gospel? No. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing, what? By the word of God. Nothing else is gonna produce faith on us. There are some places, like for instance in some remote places in Russia or South America, or you can name it whichever place you think of, that probably the gospel has never been there before. And then you say, well, then a missionary arrives and then congregations begin to be established, and you wonder, if we can preach the gospel, if somebody can be saved separate and apart from the Bible itself, why are there not more churches established? If they can be established without the Bible. Well, they're not established in those places because somebody with the Bible, a preacher, has not arrived to that place yet. That's why. This is the only way in which God communicates to man nowadays. So, faith coming by hearing the word of God. That's the first reason why a person cannot be saved without hearing the gospel. Now, notice the second reason. Can somebody be saved without hearing the gospel? No. Why? Because there is only one way to the Father. Sometimes when we think of persons that have never heard the gospel and that died without hearing the gospel, first things that comes to mind are those remote villages or Indian tribes or somewhere really remote, an island where nobody has ever gone before. And that's right, that's correct. But notice also that that's just not the only group of people that this applies to. For instance, most of the people that are so-called Christian in the Christian world, we might say, well, they have heard the gospel. But no, they have not. Even though they belong to a Christian movement. Like, for instance, just one example, the Catholics. Even though they belong to a Christian category, they have not heard the gospel per se, and most of them might die without hearing it in the lifetime, even though they grew up Catholics. But they will not hear the gospel there, as is taught in the Bible. So, when we say, well, they can be saved without hearing the gospel, we're saying, well, they can be saved no matter which group they belong to in Christianity. And then we can also go to the extreme to say they can be saved without hearing the gospel. Well, they can be saved being Hindus, being Muslims, being Buddhists, being Jews, etc., you name it. Because if we don't need the gospel, well, anybody can be saved anywhere else. But a person cannot be saved without hearing the gospel because there is only one way to be saved. There is only one way. And also, we heard some about this morning, but notice what happened in Matthew 1:21 when the angel is speaking to Joseph. Joseph being worried about taking his wife Mary because of the news he heard that she was with child. But then the angel appeared to him and notice what he tell him. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou, Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why shall I call his name Jesus? Well, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save. Who will save? Jesus will save. No other way, no other name, no other person will save. You can try to go to Moses if you wish. You can go to Abraham if you wish. But they will not save you because his name is going to be called Jesus because he is the one and the only one that is going to be able to save his people from their sins. And not only do we read about this in Matthew, we read this morning in John 14 and verse 6. And the text reads like this. Jesus said unto him, and I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Either he's being really presumptuous here, or he's lying, or he's really telling the truth. But I don't see people out there in the streets just telling that they are the only way to heaven. This is something you don't see very common. It's hardly to see. But you see Jesus, because he is the only name under heaven by which we may be saved. That's Acts 4:12. And now we combine it with this verse over here. There is only one way by which we may be saved. And notice he said it in the context with his disciples when he's having that last meeting with them, private meeting, And they were all worried about what was happening to his master. They were all troubled. And he tell him, don't be troubled. I'm going to my father, and in my father's house there are many mansions, and if I go there, I'll come back and get you so that you can be with me. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come back and bring you to myself that there you may be also. And this is in the context that he told them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Imagine that comfort they received at that moment. They were really afraid. Now, there is only one way to the Father. There is only one way to salvation, and this is Jesus. This is another reason why somebody cannot be saved without hearing the gospel. Now, this is very simple, you might say. Well, this is really simple to understand, and it is. But like Josh was preaching this morning, outside, people believe what they want to believe. And they think you can be saved no matter where. They think you can be saved doing no matter what. And that everything you do is good enough to get you saved. But some person might ask, well, what about your conscience? Would not you be judged by your conscience? Would you die if you never heard the gospel? Well, let's notice that. If you want to go with me to Romans chapter 2 and beginning in around verse 12, and he does speak about conscience, our conscience here in Romans 2. But let's notice what the apostle is trying to explain in these verses. Romans chapter 2, verses 12 and on. It reads like this. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. This is taken to mean, people that never heard the word of God before. In this case, in our topic, people that have never heard the gospel and died without hearing the gospel. This is what it's taken to mean. But we'll see what it really means. For as many have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, this phrase, without law, does not mean that they did not know at all the word of God. What it means, and he's making a comparison, and we can start reading from verse 1 in chapter 2, is comparing how the Jews felt they were justified just because they had the scrolls. They had the books with them, and they felt, well, we're special, we're justified because we have the scrolls. But then Paul proves a point to them. For as many as have sinned without law, not that they didn't know the law of God, but they didn't have access to the scrolls as the Jews did. Without law, shall also perish without law. And as many have seen in the law, or having access to the written word of God of that time, which were the scrolls, shall be judged by the law. And this word perish. Notice the word perish. How can, if God is a just judge, how can he cause somebody to perish? Without him having a law to abide with. You know, the definition of sin is sin is what? Transgression of the law. How can I transgress a law that I do not have? Do you see where I'm going? They did know the law of God. They just did not have access to the scrolls, but they themselves kept the word of God, and we'll see how. So, God will be unjust if he would judge somebody without a base to judge somebody. This is the way we're judged nowadays. We're judged by the law, concerning the law. Not, if we don't have a law, how can we be judged? Now, notice verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. We're talking about a group of people that were doing the law, even though they did not have the scrolls themselves with them. Now, verse 14.
For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, they were doing by nature, what does this mean? By long-standing practice, the things contained in the law, having not the law, are law unto themselves, because they were doing the things contained in the law, having not the law physically with them. This is what the text means. Now, verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. Now here's the word conscience. Somebody might say, well, if somebody never heard the gospel, they will be judged according to their conscience. But now, if that was true, then in that case, everybody will be saved. Because everybody's conscience out there is not bothering them. They're okay. How come my conscience judge me if my conscience it's okay when I'm lying, when I'm stealing? You understand what I'm trying to say? The conscience needs to be taught correctly in order to function the way it should be. The conscience will always function the way it was designed. I can teach my young boy that it's okay to lie, and when he grows older, his conscience is not never going to bother him, because that's the way he was raised. And if we say, well, our conscience will judge us on the last day, then everybody will be saved, because a lot of people are not really bothered by what they're doing that is offending God. But now notice verse 16. How then will we be judged? Yes, our conscience plays part of it, but when we are taught, when we have heard the word of God. Notice verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, by who? By Jesus Christ, according to what? According to my gospel. Yes, this group of Gentiles were being accused by their conscience. But they were accused by their conscience because they knew and they were practicing the Word of God in their life. They knew the Word of God even though they did not have access to the written scrolls. That's the point Paul is trying to make. So we cannot be saved by our conscience. Our conscience would not judge us. Notice John 12:48, where we have the words of the Master. Specifically, what is going to judge us? We read here that is the gospel. Now, in John 12:48, it reads, "He that rejected me and received not my words had one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In no era was man left without the word of God. The patriarchs had access to the Word of God. In the Mosaic Law, they had access to the Word of God. Even the heathen nations had access to the Word of God. One day, Jonah was sent to Nineveh. And Nineveh was a Gentile nation. And God was going to destroy them, but God sent them a warning first. And then after they repented, then God forgave them. But they had access to the Word of God, and they knew from a prophet himself that there was a day of judgment coming from them, so they repented for what they were doing. So they had access to the Word of God. And now in the Christian era, we have access to the Word of God through the written Word here. This is the way we have access to the Word of God. Now, well, can somebody be saved without the gospel? No. Why? We have seen just two reasons. Reason number one, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Reason number two, because there is only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be saved, and this is Jesus Christ Himself, and the life He suffered, and His death and resurrection, and the gospel as we obey it. That's the only way we can be saved. And also because we shall be judged by the gospel, and we shall be judged by the words of Christ. That's why somebody cannot be saved without hearing the gospel. And I think this message is really important because there are different opinions as far as how God shall judge those who never heard the gospel, but the Bible gives us the principles and the way we can understand better this topic, this subject. Now, a person cannot be saved without the gospel. This is why our Lord sent us in Matthew 28, remember Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20, when He gives us a great commission, and He tells us, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. When the Lord comes again, we read in 2 Thessalonians that He will come in flaming fire, and He's going to bring retribution. He's going to take vengeance on them that did what? That did not know God, and on them that did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, God is a judge God. He will judge us according to the standard He set. This is why it's so urgent, and this is why we have that need to be able to take the gospel to as many places or as many people as we can. And this is the goal of the church, to be able to go to those who have not heard it and give them the opportunity to make a decision for themselves. But they have heard it, and they will decide either to obey it or to not obey it. We will rejoice if they decide to obey it, but there's nothing we can do if they decide not to. But the task of the church is to be able to give them that opportunity, as our Master said, and as our Master commissioned. I hope, brothers and sisters, that we have learned some from the Bible from this lesson. I'm really hoping that this can be something that can bring some encouragement to us as far as taking the gospel. There's somebody here that has not obeyed the gospel. You know that there's only one way to be saved. There's only one means by you can have faith. That is by hearing the word of God. And not only hearing it, but having faith. In other words, obeying the gospel. You remember that man from Ethiopia that was coming down from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia, and then he met Philip, and then Philip explained to him and preached to him from the book of Isaiah. And then he said, "Well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And he told him, "If you believe, say, 'I believe that Christ is the Son of God.'" And then they were both down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And then after he came out, he went his way rejoicing because he had obeyed the gospel, the only way by which man can be saved. If you are subject to an invitation, if you think you need to be baptized, please do so as we stand and as we sing this song of invitation.